That is our prayer this morning, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Teach us holy reverence, true humility. Capture our minds, Lord, that our attitudes might be shaped in your radiance and made pure in your presence. We pray. Amen. We sang a song this morning. It always makes me go, you ever see a dog when they hear a certain tone and the dog's head goes, hmm? It made my head go, hmm? when I sang these words. So if you've been forgiven, if you've been set free, sing a song forever to the Lamb. Lord, we're here. Yes, and you've heard Daniel. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see. Well, we all have ears. We all have eyes, Lord. I don't get it. If you walk in freedom, if you bear his name. I'm a Christian. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, I already told you once. Of course I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, I don't know how many times I need to tell you. Well, how many times did you deny me? And how many times again will you deny me or forget me or get lazy? Or not ask the question, Lord, what would you have me do today? Lord, what would you have me say? What is your spirit doing in me? You see, we don't show up on Pentecost and say, yay, today's the day. We get to have fun because the rest of the year is boring. We have fire on the table. Ooh. It's every day. We have access every day. We get to remind ourselves on Pentecost that we need the power, the fire of the Holy Spirit every day. Or else it just is, you know, smoke and mirrors, right? We're just playing games. We're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, if you will, right? We have been forgiven. We have been redeemed. We do bear his name. We do walk in his freedom. And we should. Lord, we should be singing a song forever to the Lamb. God doesn't waste anything, does he? Do you ever feel like that? Do you just walk up and the Spirit is so thick on you, you're just like, ping, 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 ping. I mean, it's my worst nightmare when it comes to ADD, but on the days when the Lord is moving, I see connections all over the place. I'm like, God, 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 God. Whoa, it's so cool. Because God's connections, he doesn't waste anything. He's already woken up before you woke up this morning. He's already working on your dreams. We prayed and said, we quoted that text from Joel that said, you know, we'll have dreams and dream dreams and have visions. What visions has the Lord given you already today? There was a vision, she's not here to tell of it, but somebody sort of dialed in this morning and said, there's a vision that the people, as they're opening their bags from stage four, would find in the letters that were written by complete strangers to love them and say that we're praying for you and we're with you and your God hasn't forgotten you, were covered with gold dust. Why? Because God wants to reveal his glory. He wants his glory to be all over you. I saw people come back from Toronto when I was at St. Paul's in Darien. I was like, yeah, right. Yeah, gold dust. I saw gold dust this morning. I was a cynic. And then I saw it. I smelled it. I was like, do you smell that? Do you smell what? One person said, I smell incense. And the other person said, I smell fresh laundry. Why two different things at the same time? Because the Lord is just infinitely creative in his ability to fall on us and to get our attention. Will it keep our attention? Well, if you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed, sing. Got to be reminded. Unfortunately, we build a temple to ourselves. We worry so much about ourselves. We primp ourselves. We wash ourselves. We cleanse ourselves. That's a good thing, right? It helps everyone else in the room. But the fact of the matter is, it's not about ourselves. We do that, you know, my father always wore a jacket and a tie to church. This is not a prompt. I love being able to come in a church that enjoys come as you are. But my dad always felt that if he was coming to church, he was preparing himself for the Lord. And that's why he wore a tie and a jacket every Sunday to church. And I always thought, gosh, you know, Dad, doesn't Jesus still see you if you're wearing a t-shirt and jeans? Yes. But you've done something to prepare yourself. Not standing in judgment of anybody else, but he prepared himself for worship. Sing a song forever to the Lamb. Sing a song forever and amen. Today, this story is the story that we come to every year when it comes to Pentecost, but we're reminded of some things that the Lord was already telling the story before Pentecost came. It was the Greeks that called it Pentecost because it was 50. It was 50 days after the resurrection. It was 50. It was to mark something, but it was already marked because the Hebrew people were celebrating yet another feast, a festival. Shavuot. It was the Feast of Weeks. It was this counting of days. It was a recognition that God was doing something remarkable. It was a reminder that 49 days, the countdown connecting Passover to harvest. It represented the fact that there was an omer of wheat, an offering in the temple that counted the bridge between the death that went over God's people and the provision, the blessing, the spiritual revelation of what was on Shavuot, this giving of the Torah, the Ten Commandments. Now, most of us probably wouldn't go, yay, we're going to celebrate the Ten Commandments today. But if you think about the Ten Commandments, underneath those commandments, we live with an incredible amount of freedom. We live with an incredible amount of joy because of our obedience to them. If you can keep the Ten Commandments, if you can keep the Lord's law, then he has promised that he'll pour out his blessing. And so when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's the fulfillment of what we can't do. Because guess what, folks? You can't keep the Ten Commandments. And you haven't. Let that sink in. The God who could condemn us to death for the fact that we haven't kept his commands has blessed us and poured grace upon us and poured out his Spirit to live inside of dirty vessels. So not only can we live forever because of the work of Passover, but on Shavuot, the day that was already celebrated, already planned, already in order, counted the days between redemption and blessing, redemption and outpouring, redemption and his Spirit. So today we hear the story of Babel, right? We're reminded that in history, things can change in a single day, right? Doesn't have to be back in biblical times, in your lifetime, September 11th, 2001. People suddenly realized how fragile the world could be. During COVID, I remember I was on retreat with brothers, and we were all talking about what's going to happen in our churches. And here I was like, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. By the end of the weekend, we all had shut down our churches and were trying to figure out how to get online so that we could stay connected. COVID changed how churches functioned so we didn't isolate, so that we didn't divide. Scripture today tells a story about how God moves on his people from confusion to communion. But he almost had to put, and he did, had to put confusion on them so they wouldn't keep building a temple to themselves. So that in communion, his spirit would be the thing that brought them together so that they would worship him and him alone. I love. You've seen it on television. You have various feelings about it. I know it's attached to the various political positions that you have, but I love that our nation took time to gather on the Mall, to pray for our nation, to set this nation aside for the sake of the kingdom of God. As a Christian nation, yes, there are other religions that worship in this nation, but we are founded on principles that we need to uphold. But that doesn't give us the right to put anybody else down. It just gives us the right to proclaim the truth as we know it. And as we celebrate that this weekend, in remembering the soldiers that gave their lives this weekend in Memorial Day, we have to remember that God's the setup guy, isn't he? He's the one that put it all in motion. Let's look back on Jesus' life. Not too long ago, we celebrated the Passover. Jesus, the perfect, spotless lamb, Pesach, the Passover, was already setting in motion God's plan, his picture, so that Passover, Shavuot, would make sense. What else happened? Jesus was laid to rest in the tomb. On what holiday? On what Jewish celebration? On matzah, unleavened bread. The bread of heaven was laid to rest, unleavened, lifeless for us, so that we might have life. Jesus rose when? On the festival of first fruits, Bikurim. He being the firstborn of the dead. So it doesn't surprise us, does it, that the Holy Spirit should fall on Pentecost, on Shavuot, the 50th day after, so that the church would be restored, empowered by his presence, by his spirit. God was telling a gospel story long before the cross ever happened. We get to the story from Genesis and we hear, let's make a name for ourselves. Don't you want to make a name for yourself? Don't you want to leave a legacy? All of us have said that. We want to be important. We want to have a family name. We want to make a mark for ourselves. We want to leave behind something for somebody that we love. And in that essence was sin. At the heart of sin, there's this sense of self-sufficiency and self-glory and self-rule. And the tower was humanity's attempt to ascend without any surrender. It was all about us. Isn't that the song, right? It's all about me, Jesus. No. Babel looks like our modern culture. We build brands instead of character. We build platforms instead of prayer. We try to influence instead of building intimacy with God. We think technology grows while wisdom is shrinking. We can communicate globally while we remain spiritually dead and divided. It's crazy. The commands in this story that we hear from Babel this morning are: humble yourselves before God. Stop building an identity apart from him. Surrender your self-made kingdoms. Why? Why? Because we need to know that pride and selfishness will scatter us, not unite us. Sin divides. That is solely what the devil wants to do in our lives, to kill and divide. Human unity without God is rebellion. Human unity without God is rebellion. It might look good on the outside. It's like a fruitless tree, right? It's lush, it's green, it's beautiful, it comes in season, but it's not providing anything. What is the fruit on the tree for? Not just so that it can hang there or rot on the ground, but provide for sustenance for our lives. The promise here is that even in judgment, God preserves humanity from destroying itself. So what does he do? He moves them out of Babel. Confuses their language so that they have to fight for unity. Have you ever seen that in the church? We've seen it in the things that we had to do to battle to be the Anglican Church in North America. And that's no condemnation. I know tons of faithful people who are still in the Episcopal Church. God bless them. And we want them to stand for the sake of the gospel. When we left on principle, and we started to build, and we could be building a tower to ourselves if we're not careful. If we're careful, then in humility, we lay down our idols and trust the Lord to lead us so he doesn't scatter us because we've been disobedient. The psalm this morning reminds us that we are called to stop living disconnected lives from our worship. Our worship can't be, yeah, these are good things to speak of, Lord. Okay, we did it. Let's move on. It has to be our life song. It has to be our blood. It has to be. I remember evangelist from Finland came to St. Paul's in Darien, and he said, the Holy Spirit needs to be a flood, not a trickle. You need to grow gills because it needs to be the atmosphere that you operate in, not just a toe in the water every once in a while. That vision from Ezekiel of, you know, the water coming from the temple and coming ankle deep, then knee deep, then hip deep, then chest deep, and suddenly it's over our heads. That's what we want. We don't want just a dip in the pool, but we want to live there, Lord. In Acts chapter 2 today, we get the word about the feast of Shavuot. It's a fun word to say, Shavuot. In my 12-year-old twisted mind this morning, all I could do was picture a mother eagle pushing its eaglets out of the nest. And isn't that ironically true about Pentecost? The fire of God is pushing us out of our comfort zone. Shoving, Shavuot, shove them out of the nest. Have you ever seen an eaglet get pushed out of the nest? I love these cameras that have been set up on newly born eagles, and they show this progression, and they're starting to grow, and they're starting to get managed by their mothers, and this, you know, they speed the tape up so you can see, you know, the development, and then they push them out, and these little things go boink, 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 you know, down out of the tree, and eventually they get those wings to do what they're supposed to do. The feast of weeks, the harvest, the celebration of the law. Now, 50 days after the resurrection, God gives something greater than stone tablets. He gave Moses the stone tablets. He gave us his word in our hearts. His spirit lives within us. At Sinai, fire fell from the mountain. At Pentecost, fire fell on the people. The constant, it was strange for Hebrew historians at the time to talk about what people witnessed around that time. But there were even written documents by non-believing people saying these people said that there was fire on them. What do you do with that? Fire fell on God's people. At Babel, languages were divided. Language divided humanity. At Pentecost, languages united God's people. Wait a second, aren't these Medes and all sorts of different folks? They speak different languages. People were starting to scratch their heads. How do we hear in our own language from these apostles and others who are speaking out in tongues? That gives a different revelation to tongues than most of us would think, right? There was something that was understandable. God gives a spirit of wisdom and revelation, not of more confounding and confusion. So when you hear somebody speaking in tongues, immediately in our midst, if the Holy Spirit's really speaking that word, we should have a revelation of what God's saying in that. That's why we wait when somebody speaks in tongues, so that an interpretation can be given, so that there's unity and understanding. This is the reversal of Babel. God's presence, His power, His Holy Spirit is the reversal of confusion. We wouldn't have such great needs for healing or transformation if we weren't so confused, if we weren't so broken by our own thoughts and by the world. At Passover, Jesus died as the Passover lamb. Just as Israel placed blood on the doorsteps for deliverance, Jesus Christ shed his blood for our salvation. At matzah, the unleavened bread, Jesus lay in the tomb during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leaven symbolizes what? Sin. Sin was being dealt with as Christ lay in the tomb. Christ, the sinless bread of heaven, was buried. Bikurim, the first fruits, the festival of first fruits, Jesus rose on that day. Paul later says that Christ became the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep. The resurrection was the first harvest of the coming kingdom, the feast of first fruits. So here we are on Pentecost, 50 days later at Pentecost, the Spirit, Jesus says, wait for it. Haven't we experienced enough already, Lord? I mean, that's somewhat what we do in church sometimes. We say, Lord, but we've experienced enough. You've covered our sin. We're okay. We've got the insurance policy. Thumbs up, right? No, there's more. On Pentecost, the church was born not merely through doctrine, but through divine power. You see, let me give you an illustration that sits. I'm going to give you some illustrations today that work for me. They might not work for you, but just go with it. Imagine trying to run a Harley Davidson, all right? Vroom, vroom. With no ignition fire. The bike may look beautiful. Polished chrome, full tank, perfect paint. But without fire in the cylinders, goes nowhere. For many of us, as Christians, we have religion without ignition. We have doctrine without power. We have church attendance without transformation. We have tradition without fire. Lord, let there not be fire in your church. We need your fire. We need Pentecost to remind us that the church was never meant to run without the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything. We need to repent. We need to call upon the Lord. We need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Why again? Why do we do this every year? Because you leak. We leak. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us every day, let alone once a year. God empowers ordinary people. The gospel is for every nation. The Spirit unites what sin divided. What does he promise through this? Well, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That work was done at Passover. Was completed at Pentecost so that we might be shoved out, Shavuot, shoved out into a world that needs you, that needs your temple, your dwelling place, where the Holy Spirit lives. It lives in you. I look at, you know, sort of trite little sayings sometimes, bumper sticker sayings. And I drove by a bumper sticker about a month ago, and it said, really, 12 apostles? That was your plan, Lord? It's kind of sarcastic, but it's true. 12 apostles shook the world. What could you do? What are you doing? It doesn't take much. Be yourself. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Speak into lives. Bless, encourage. Paul says, of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, at least be prophetic. And most of us go, no thanks. Prophecy, that's a little weird for me. No. Paul makes it really simple. He says, to prophesy is to encourage, to comfort, to strengthen. Each of you can. Stop relying on human strength, the Lord is saying in this passage to us. As we look to the day of Pentecost, we're reminded that sons and daughters will prophesy, young and old will encounter God, the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. So let's not rely on our human strength. Let's move from spectator Christianity to Spirit-filled mission. Exchange fear for boldness. Are you ready to be bold? I'm ready to be bold. Guess what? This morning, Scott was planning to be with us, and he was going to celebrate. I asked John last minute to sort of pitch in to get in here because Scott was planning on being here. But last night, he was stretching because he's trying to restore himself from his fall and breaking his ribs, and something popped. And he was at the emergency room last night till 4 in the morning, just before he's going on an anniversary trip to the Outer Banks. Now, let me tell you, all of us know that Scott's a powerhouse for the Lord, and he's dangerous. And the enemy knows it. And I just said to him this morning, brother, I'm sorry that you can't be with us. We're praying that this morning's rest before you get on a plane or get in the car, or however you're getting down to the Outer Banks, that you are restored. And that the enemy cannot rob a moment from what he wants, the Lord wants to pour into you in this time. Now, who knows? God doesn't waste anything, so maybe that pop had to pop so that Scott could stay aware of what the Lord wanted to do this week, for him to slow down, for him not to push too hard. But I'm telling you this, if we exchange our fear for boldness, the Lord will not only bless us and give us gifts and strength beyond our imagining, the enemy is going to work overtime to undermine it. Don't be afraid. He is your encircler. I love this prayer by the Celts. He goes before you, behind you, above you, below you, to the right and to the left. St. Patrick it was attributed to him as St. Patrick's breastplate. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ below me. We need him to encircle us because there's so many fiery arrows that the enemy wants to send our way. So in John's gospel this morning, we hear Jesus say to his disciples, don't worry. This wasn't a Bobby McFerrin song, you know, be happy, don't worry. No, this was gospel truth. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I'm not leaving you. I'm coming to you in greater power. Not so that I could live outside of you and show you these things, but that I might live in you, that you might do these things. Have you ever raised the dead? I haven't. I've prayed yet. I prayed over somebody and I saw the Lord give sight back to them when I was in Africa with my friend Jan Nell. The word helper means advocate, comforter, counselor, strengthener. Jesus knew his disciples had not yet fulfilled the mission and could not fill the mission alone. Neither can we. Pick up a phone. A phone contains incredible technology. Right now it's through satellite, but back in the day, phones were connected by wires. Those wires had a little bit, not a ton, but just enough energy put into those wires so that signal would go at the speed of light across nations. But without that connection, without that power, those words die. They fade, especially at greater distance. Many believers are spiritually operating on 2% of battery. We get overwhelmed by anxiety. anger. We get offended easily. We build arguments with people instead of trying to find grace and understanding. We're exhausted. We're spiritually dry. Jesus didn't call us to imitate him externally, but die on the inside. He promised us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that intimacy with him could remain eternally. Jesus said, if you believe in me, then you've seen the Father. Wait a second, how have we seen the Father? Jesus shakes his head. It's like, y'all are so stupid. That's the, you know, paraphrase of the early Greek. Y'all are so stupid. Listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you've seen the Father, you know what the Father's doing. And if you know what the Father's doing, you would see that I and the Father are one. And there's a Spirit that's coming that is one with us as well. It's not the little portion of us. It's the same portion of us. It is us with you. So get ready. I won't leave you as orphans, he said. The Spirit of truth will dwell in you. Stop trying to live your Christian life on your own power. Stop treating faith as a mere routine. Cultivate intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to you. If you don't sing, who cares? Sing anyway. If you are not a reader, a voracious reader, you don't have, your pastor's telling you right now you have no excuse for not reading God's word every day. Read anyway. If you're not one who speaks in tongues or has certain gifts or feels like the Lord has allowed you to be the spiritual one, phooey. It's the biggest lie that the enemy wants to put on you. You have full access to every gift as God wants to release them to you. It is his to release. Trust him, but keep asking. If God is handing out the goodies, folks, let's get in line. Babel dealt with our pride so that at Pentecost we would be receiving and living into our humility. At Babel, there was human effort. At Pentecost, there was divine power. At Babel, there was a scattering, a confusion, the Lord trying to make them realize that they were building an edifice to themselves. At Pentecost, there was a gathering, a clarity, a unity through languages. At Babel, it was about self-glory. At Pentecost, it was the glory of the risen Christ. The gospel story unfolds through the feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and then Pentecost. God had written redemption into Israel's calendar long before the cross at Calvary ever happened. It was his plan. Sorry, I'm going long. I feel like I haven't preached forever. But I'm telling you, this is so exciting because it's going ping, 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 ping. There's so many connections. The church, the world does not need another Tower of Babel. Let me say that again, because I think we live in a culture that would love to see America be the great nation. We are a great nation. We speak of the U.S. being a city on a hill. We are a city on the hill. Let his light shine, not yours. We're not building another tower. We're not building an edifice to ourselves. We're not building anything that would reflect our pride in us, but our love for Jesus and what he's done. We need a spirit-filled people, filled with holy fire, shaped by humility, empowered by grace, alive with resurrection hope. Jesus died at Passover as the Lamb. He rested in the tomb as the sinless bread. He rose at Bikurim, as the first fruit, and he was poured out through his Spirit at Shavuot so the church could live with power. The same Spirit who hovered over creation, who filled the upper room, who rose Christ from the dead, now lives in you. Will you receive it? Don't be scattered. Don't be confused. Don't live powerless. Don't live disconnected, but live in God's presence. Live with intimacy with Him. Do you realize, those of you who've been married for a while, okay, I'll just say this. You know, there's a certain point where we get to be like an old sock with each other when we're married. Kristen, you're not here to defend yourself. You're my favorite old sock. But the fact of the matter is that effort, that romance, that first love, that intimacy, we yearn for. We long for, we want that to be present regularly in our lives. And your pastor is going to say to you, whether you're married or not, you don't need to be married to have those thoughts or feelings. You need to seek that affirmation, that blessing, that intimacy with people in your lives, whether they be best friends or your partner for life. Then do something about it. Do something about it. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much it means to you that they've given up their lives to partner with you. Tell them, pick up the phone and call your best friend. I don't care if they live in Houston. Pick up the phone and call them in Montana. Pick up the phone and call them in Virginia. Call them wherever they live and just say, I was thinking about you today, and I think God's crazy about you, and I'm crazy about you, and I'm so thankful that you're in my life. We get to do something because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And out of that response to the gospel, to what He's done in us, His infilling, His outpouring, we get fired up. Here we are, ping, 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 ping. Let's not just let the ping pings happen, right? Let's do something about it. Let's receive the Holy Spirit. Let's walk in humility. Let's live in holiness. Let's speak the gospel boldly and become a part of God's new creation. Do something about what God has placed in you. Why should we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why do we need Him so much? Jesus fulfilled all of these things so that we might walk from the fire of our lives and be unscathed by the fire. We go back to that story of, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Who was the fourth person? Before Jesus was ever on the earth, He was present in the power of His Spirit through the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was there. Imagine firefighters rescuing a family from a burning house. Would it make sense for the family to say, thank you for saving us. We'll just stand here in the street forever now. No. The rescue was meant to lead them somewhere. In the same way, Jesus didn't merely save us to avoid hell. He saved us so that we could become alive in God. And in our lives, be able to restore what the fire had stolen. Passover is that deliverance. It's not just the completion of the loss of sin. For us, we need to have cleansing. We have to be forgiven. We have to be in a place where it's not just information, but we want transformation. We need our behavior to change. A doctor has to remove a poison from our body if we are going to live with nourishment and strength and healing. Many of us as Christians, we experience the need for a spiritual detox. We need to be emptied so that we can be filled. Jesus didn't die simply to make us less sinful. He died so that we could be filled with His Spirit. So what? So what? The disciples believed that Jesus believed in Jesus before Pentecost. Jesus said to them, wait. Why? Because forgiven people still need to be empowered. Peter loved Jesus before Pentecost, but fear still controlled him. After Pentecost, fearlessness was his moniker. He stood in the public square and preached to thousands. The weak became bold. The scattered became united. Here's another illustration. That's where it was. It's in this spot. I'm going sailing, so you won't see me for a few weeks. I get to go with my family and with some friends down to the Virgin Islands. We'll leave next Saturday, and we'll be gone through almost the end of, well, through the 23rd of June. If you owned a beautiful sailboat in the British Virgin Islands, where we'll be going, and the hull was polished, and the rigging was perfect, and the navigation equipment was spot on, but there's no wind, the boat may look impressive, docked at the marina, but it can't fulfill its purpose. The Holy Spirit's the wind of the sails of you, the church. Without him, worship becomes routine, ministry becomes exhausting, prayer becomes dry, evangelism becomes fearful, holiness becomes impossible. You may have the structure of Christianity without the infilling of God. Pentecost completes the gospel story. Jesus fulfilled each of the feasts progressively. Jesus saves us from our sin. He cleanses us from our corruption. Jesus gives us resurrection life. And at Pentecost, he fills us with divine power. Fear now gets to become courage. Peter denied Christ before Pentecost, and afterward he preached publicly. Religion becomes relationship. Prayer stops being duty and becomes communion with God. Weakness becomes witness. Ordinary people become spiritually fruitful. Have you ever met those people that are so beautiful in Christ you just want to be around them? And you want to be around them more? Why? It's not because they're super themselves. It's because he dwells in them. He radiates from them. At Pentecost, division became unity. Dryness became fire. Jesus didn't endure Passover merely so that you could survive. He didn't rest in the tomb merely so that you could behave better. He didn't rise on first fruits merely so that you could attend church occasionally. He poured out his Spirit at Pentecost, and we celebrate it today to be reminded to live boldly, to love deeply, to worship passionately, to overcome sin, to walk in power, to become a witness to the nations. The same fire that fell at Acts 2 is still available today. Let me say that again. The same fire that fell in Acts 2 is still available today. We don't need to whoop it up to call it down. We just need to trust him to pour out the fire, to pour it out upon us so that we could be bold. So don't settle for salvation without transformation. Don't settle for belief without power, for religion without presence. Open your lives fully to the Holy Spirit. Because the final fulfillment of the feasts is not merely that Jesus came to dwell among his people, but that through the Holy Spirit, he now lives in his people. Would you just, I'm going to not ask you to stand because I really want you to sit in this. Reach out some hands. And if you will, I'm not forcing you to do this. But if you will, you don't need to stand. You can stay seated. Just ask him to come. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me from head to toe. Fill my life with holy boldness. Fill me with words that I can't even imagine where they came from. Fill me with divine appointments with people. I couldn't make up how they were connected or how you put these things together. Strengthen me in a way that I could never imagine being this kind of ambassador for your kingdom. It could only be explained by your presence. I pray, Lord, for the crazy glue of your heaven, that you would patch up those holes where we leak, so that your dwelling place would be secure in us and the world would know that we are on fire because we have you burning within us. Help us to be a public witness, Lord, not to a stagnant belief, but a vibrant faith. Set us on fire for your kingdom, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want specific things, you want the Holy Spirit to fall, you haven't experienced the baptism of the Spirit, you haven't experienced tongues, you haven't experienced the gifts of the Spirit or seen the fruit of the Spirit in your life, today's the day to ask. You've just asked. But you may want to come forward to prayer teams later after communion and say, I need more. When I was in seminary, I watched as the Holiness Club all had something that and I denigrated them. I put them down. I laughed because I thought, you know, here's the Holy Spirit group. They're going to put their hands in the air at the same time, in the same place. They're going to speak in tongues, but it sounds like the same thing over and over and over again. I no longer will make fun of the holiness that resides in people who have relinquished themselves to the work of God. Then I didn't understand it, so I made fun of it to put it in a place that I could be comfortable. But I finally got to the place where I was so uncomfortable not having what they had that I begged God for it. I knew that he had to move over my life. And my hope, my prayer, my desire as your pastor is to see you filled with the Holy Spirit so much that you're always coming every Sunday for more, hungry, longing, wanting, so that that relationship that you once had with your spouse or your friends, the relationship that you have with God is reflected in all of those things. There's such intimacy with God that there's intimacy with everything and everyone around you because your heart is in a disposition that says, I want more because I know you have more. This is not works righteousness, folks. You can't whoop it up enough to bring it down. It's not your own power. It's not bootstrap religion. It's just you simply saying, I like ice cream. I want more. Right? I love being in this relationship with the Lord. When I worship him, I feel. What was that? Chariots of Fire. When I run, I feel his pleasure. He found that thing that God soared through him, that voice that he had, that connection, and that connection bred a desire for more. That's the fire that I want to see lit today. Ask him and ask some prayer team members to help you get there. Because every week, doesn't matter, just keep asking until you see the evidence of it. Every week, just keep asking for it. He will answer your prayers. He will hear the call, but he'll only release it in his time with his purposes. Okay, seventh sermon over.